I'm Marty Moscoe. Welcome to Radio Times.
Hey, Alexa, I've got a question for you. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
The team favored to win is the... is the Patriots. That was tough to get out. But I'm flying with the Eagles on this one because of their relentless defense and the momentum they've been riding off their underdog status. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Well, even voice bots are rooting for the Eagles this Sunday when they take on the New England Patriots in Minneapolis. The Patriots have already won 5 Super Bowls, while the Eagles have never taken home the Lombardi Trophy. So can Nick Foles and this scrappy team take down the best quarterback in football history, Tom Brady, and this winning franchise? Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. Also, how are you preparing for this Sunday's game? Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Mike Sielski is sports columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, was our guest during this exciting season to talk about this team, and now joins us from Minneapolis, where it is -7 degrees. Mike, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. Thanks for having me.
So is Alexa right or wrong?
I think Alexa is actually right. The Patriots are favored in this game. I think the line has moved up to 5 points now that Rob Gronkowski, their star tight end, is going to play. He's been cleared through the league's concussion protocol and is going to play on Sunday. But I think the Eagles match up really well against the Patriots. I think they have the kind of defense that can slow, if not stop completely, the Patriots offense and Tom Brady. And I think they play with the kind of looseness and aggressiveness that a team that aspires to beat the Patriots has to play with. You can't play scared against this team. You can't play as if you're trying not to lose rather than trying to win. And I think the Eagles have played that way all year. They're used to it. I think that gives them a pretty good edge heading into Sunday's game.
And they go for fourth downs. Is that an example of the kind of aggressiveness you've been talking about?
That's exactly right. No other team, only one other team, I should say, in the NFL this season went for it on fourth down more often than the Eagles did, and no team was more successful than the Eagles were, and they had the third highest percentage of success rate of going for it on fourth down. So that tells you that they're daring and that they succeed when they're daring. And so, that's the kind of mentality and approach you have to have if you're going to beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, that they're a team, Patriots are a team that gets their opponents in uncomfortable situations. It makes them be more aggressive and more daring when they're not accustomed to playing that way. But the Eagles are. They play that way all the time, kind of with the pedal to the metal. And I think that'll help them.
Well, let's talk about quarterback Nick Foles. And it almost feels like one of those Hollywood movies, the fact that he is now at the Super Bowl leading the Eagles there. If he can play the way he played 2 weeks ago, can he pull it out?
If he can play the way he played 2 weeks ago, the Eagles will win easily. He played a game in that NFC Championship game against the Vikings that, from a quarterback standpoint, was just about perfect. He didn't throw any completion in the second half. He got the ball downfield. He was confident. He knew what he wanted to do. If he plays like that again, they'll be fine. The question is whether he's going to play like that again.
Right.
Foles tends to be very hot and cold. When he's good, he's really, really good, as he was 2 weeks ago. And when he's bad, he's really bad. There's rarely kind of an in-between Nick Foles. He's been terrific in these playoffs so far. And the Eagles have to hope that he continues that.
Is it a kind of a mental fitness for him? And is there something that Doug Peterson can do to get him in the right frame of mind?
Well, it has been in the past. Nick has I don't know if getting down on himself is the right way to put it, but his confidence in the past has ebbed and flowed. I think Doug Peterson has designed and kind of schemed the offense in such a way that he's made things more comfortable for Foles. I think after Foles played poorly in those final two regular season games, some of that was just kind of kicking rust off because he hadn't played all season, and some of it was Peterson and the rest of the coaching staff getting a sense of, okay, what kind of plays does he like? What kind of plays should we avoid running? You've seen over the last 2 weeks, for instance, a lot of what are called run-pass option plays, where Foles takes the snap and fakes a handoff to a running back while he's kind of standing still. And that forces the defense to kind of freeze for a heartbeat or two and figure out exactly what the Eagles are doing. And in that frozenness, I guess you'd say, appropriate metaphor for the Super Bowl.
Right, exactly.
Nick can find a receiver, usually kind of a quick short pass to a receiver on the move. He seems to like those plays. He was a basketball player in high school, and I think that the handling of the football that way kind of simulates handling a basketball in some ways, and I think that plays to his strength.
And I'm assuming that the Patriots know all about this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Patriots, you know, I mean, gosh, they're like the CIA. They have a dossier on every single player on the Eagles roster. So, you know, that's the chess match is, okay, what do Belichick and the Patriots think the Eagles are going to do? What are the Eagles really going to do? How do Belichick and the Patriots respond? And back and forth we go.
You know, I heard and read that the Eagles even practice for the halftime show, which is longer than a typical halftime in a regular game. Does that tell us something, and is that unusual?
Well, I don't think it's unusual for a team to practice that. It may be a little bit, but I do think it speaks to one of the big advantages that the Patriots have, which is that they've been here before. They're used to this. Nothing about the hoopla or media attention of a Super Bowl is new to them. The Eagles are not in that situation, obviously. And one of the things that players on the Eagles' previous Super Bowl team back in February of 2005 pointed to as one of the reasons that they lost that game to the Patriots, 24-21, was that they came out flat in the second half. Certainly Belichick and his coaches and players had a lot to do with that. But part of it was that they were kind of raring to go after 10 or 15 minutes, which is the usual length of a halftime break. And instead, there was Paul McCartney throwing a concert that was lasting a half hour to 45 minutes. And, you know, that when you're an elite athlete or a football player, that throws off your timing, your rhythm. You don't want anything you're not used to. So the Eagles are trying to simulate that as best they can. I think it's a smart move. Again, we'll have to see if it has any effect come Sunday.
And this year it is Justin Timberlake. Let me read a couple of comments from some of the folks that work here at WHYY. We sent out an email this morning asking how they are feeling about the game and what they're doing. We heard from Bill Morazzo. Excuse me. He's our president and CEO. He says, I'm going to serve up spam that I won in a wager with Minnesota Public Radio when we trounced the Vikings a few weeks back. Between it and the beers, I intend to enjoy. Not sure I'll see Monday in the morning. We're going to check to see whether our boss comes to work on Monday or not. What do you do, Mike? I mean, I don't know whether you have to pretend to be a journalist and be neutral about all of this.
Yeah, I think, you know, those of us who cover the team for the Inquirer and the Daily News and Philly.com, you know, we try to maintain as much distance as we can. You know, we're supposed to be looking at this, if not completely objectively, at least with a sizable bit of distance compared to the average fan. And we have to be able to say, if the Eagles, for instance, do lose this game, we have to be able to speak and write honestly about why they did and what happened and what the future holds and all that kind of stuff. By the same token, it's hard not to get caught up in this story. I mean, nobody saw this coming, certainly not at the beginning of the season. And certainly I didn't see this coming. Maybe the diehardest of diehard fans did. But once Carson Wentz got hurt, as you mentioned in your opening, I really didn't think that Nick Foles would have the capacity to get the Eagles to this point. So you have to take all that into consideration. I mean, believe me, look, I grew up in the area. My parents are throwing a big Super Bowl party. It's a running joke, you know, between me and them, that every time the Eagles win a game that suggests they're on their way to a good season, my mom will call me or my dad will call me and say, we're rolling meatballs, which means we're rolling meatballs for the Super Bowl party, you know, in early February. So they actually get to do it this year, which, you know, makes me happy.
That's terrific. Now, they are playing in neutral territory. Obviously, they're playing under a dome. Mike, do you think that'll make a difference one way or the other?
I'm not sure it does. They don't. The NFL never really wants, with maybe one or two exceptions, they don't want weather conditions to be a factor in the outcome of a Super Bowl. You know, we had the cold weather outdoor Super Bowl 4 years ago, I guess, at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford. There was rain in Miami when the Colts played the Bears about 10 years ago, maybe more. But, you know, I don't think the conditions favor one team necessarily over another. Maybe it allows the Patriots receivers, who tend to be small, kind of quick cut kind of guys to move more easily, make it tougher on the Eagles linebackers and defensive backs to cover them. But the same holds true of the Eagles receivers against the Patriots defensive backs. So I'm not sure one team necessarily has an edge over the other.
Do you see a lot of green in Minneapolis?
You know, we really haven't. And I think part of that, much of that, I should say, is because, you know, let's face it, Minneapolis in late January and early February is not exactly a vacation destination.
It's,
I mean,
really,
it's lovely
cold.
That the city's, yeah, the city's doing, you know, a terrific job of putting on the game. All the media and the two teams are kind of headquartered in Bloomington, right around the Mall of America. So if you're walking around the mall, you might be seeing a few scattered people in Eagles jerseys. But this isn't like February in 2005 when the Super Bowl was in Jacksonville and people perceived, well, I can spend 4 or 5 days in Florida in February and then go watch the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And thousands of Eagles fans came to down to Jacksonville. And as it turned out, I don't think the temperature ever broke 56 degrees that week. So, you know, this is different. It's -7 degrees out here right now. There aren't going to be, you know, Eagles fans frolicking in their green and white.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that, Mike. We will see what happens. What happens on Sunday? Do you like the fact that the city, the team, has embraced this underdog status?
Oh, it's perfect for Philadelphia. I mean, in a strange way, Philadelphia, I think, as a fan base and kind of as a sports culture, does better when its teams are underdogs. It's a position we're used to. We can emotionally invest in a team and in kind of a stereotype has a negative connotation, but I think that's probably accurate. You know, the whole Rocky motif and coming from behind and all that. And I think the fact that it's the Patriots that the Eagles would have to beat to win the whole thing adds to that. You know, they're the crown jewel franchise of the NFL in the 21st century. If the Jacksonville Jaguars had beaten them in the AFC Championship game and the Jaguars were the Eagles' opponent on Sunday, it would be wonderful. And if the Eagles won the Super Bowl and everybody would be excited, but if they were to beat the Patriots, I think it would take on an added measure of satisfaction.
Is it going to be all about field goals, do you think?
I don't know if it's going to be all about field goals. I think, you know, these teams, you know, there are arguments for both ways. You could make an argument that, you know, this could be a low-scoring game that could come down to a field goal. Certainly all of the Patriots Super Bowls have been very, very close. You know, for as dominant as a franchise as they've been, the five Super Bowls that they've won during the Brady Belichick era, three of them have been decided by a field goal. One of them was decided in overtime, and the other one was decided by 4 points in the last play of the game. So it's not like anybody should expect the Patriots, if they win, to blow the Eagles out. History doesn't say that. And I don't think the Eagles are a team that's going to get blown out, even by the Patriots. I think this is a pretty even matchup. You know, I think it very well could come down to a field goal.
And what are you going to be doing for the next couple of days? I know that the team is basically saying no more press.
Yeah, I have a good bit of writing to do today. I've got a couple more columns to write. I had taken a drive out to Fargo earlier in the week to talk to people about Carson Wentz there. He had played college football there, and so I did a lengthy piece about him and his relationship with the city and the city's kind of complicated relationship with the Eagles. So it's been a busy week, and I have some more writing to do today, and then tomorrow I'll kind of relax a bit before gearing up for Sunday, because it's a big day for us media types, too.
Well, thanks for carving out some time for us, Mike.
Thank you for having me, Morgan.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Mike Sielski, sports columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, joining us from Minneapolis. Let me read some more comments here. One from Paula Jackson. She's a financial assistant here at WHYY. She says, my uncle James Jackson was also a big Eagles fan. He passed away in 2015. On Sunday, I will be his eyes and watch the game for him. Waiting in the wings, we've got Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kinney. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia.
3, 2, 1, touchdown! Super Bowl! The final score, the Philadelphia Eagles 38, the Minnesota Vikings 7.
Well, that was the scene outside of Lincoln Financial Field after the Eagles crushed the Vikings, sending the team to the Super Bowl this Sunday when they take on the New England Patriots, 5-time Super Bowl champs. The Philadelphia region is decked out in green in support of our underdog team. Even fair-weather fans like me are Eagle fans for the weekend. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kinney is a born and bred Philadelphian. He's also a die-hard sports fan and Eagles fan, and he joins us on Radio Times. Mr. Mayor, nice to have you with us on the show.
Hi, Marty. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you? That's the important question.
I'm excited and I'm nervous.
Well, that's
I feel like you're playing in the game. It's like your stomachs are all butterflied, but at the same time, you're just so proud of this team and this coach. And no one gave this coach a chance in the beginning. And there were a lot of naysayers about Doug Peterson, and he turned out to be a fantastic play caller and a fantastic manager of players. And all of their assistant coaches and their teammates are just phenomenal. It's been a wonderful ride. After Carson Wentz went down, everybody was kind of like glum. And then, St. Nick, he stepped right up and took us 4-0, and we're going to the big game.
Is that kind of a dream of yours, to be mayor of Philadelphia while the team goes to the Super Bowl?
It's not about me. It's about the team. It's about the city. It's about the region, actually. I mean, I was just talking to Senator Carper down in Washington, just got off the phone with him, and, Delaware is excited about what's happening with the Eagles. Southern New Jersey is excited about what's happening with the Eagles. And we go, our fans go far out as Reading and Lehigh Valley. And it's just great. We're expecting a big crowd if we're successful on Sunday. We're expecting like 2 to 3 million people.
Let me pick up on that, but let me first read from WHYY reporter Kevin McCory. He emailed us, "I'm a lifelong Eagles fan looking forward to a great celebration Sunday night with my family and friends. I'll be enjoying the fact that my three-year-old son loves spelling and chanting E-A-G-L-E-S, and I'll be thinking of my dad who passed away too young almost 5 years ago. The difference between this game and the one in 2005, now this city is ready to win. Go Birds." Do you agree, Mayor Kenny?
Yeah, it's generational. I mean, I remember, before I started going to games on a regular basis, I played a lot of ice hockey, and my dad would drive us a lot of times on Sunday mornings. We'd have very, very early practices and wind up driving long distances and then coming back and listen to Merle Reese on a 1 o'clock game on the radio in the car. So there's lots of family things and family memories, people who are not with us anymore, people who are still with us. I was born in 1958, so I don't remember the 1960 NFL championship, but I do remember the sadness of 1980 and the 2005. And this city and this region really deserves this, I think.
You mentioned the fact that there'll be a big celebration, I guess, one way or the other.
Right.
What about things like security, and how are you preparing for that? And I realize that Crisco will not be part of the preparation.
We're going to Motor Oil.
Is that true?
Yeah, I believe it was in the paper yesterday. I don't get involved in the actual details of how we grease up our poles. But, we can handle this kind of stuff. We did the Pope, we did the DNC, did the NFL draft, Made in America. I mean, our police department, our police commissioner, and his commanders, and our police troops on the street, they know what they're doing. They know how to treat people. They know how to keep people safe. We had no arrests in all those big events. We're hoping that everybody will come with a good, if it happens, come with a good spirit and good intent. We have an occasional knucklehead here and there that needs to be taken into custody. But I think the overwhelming number of Eagles fans are decent family people who just want to enjoy the game.
You have a bet with the mayor of Brockton, Massachusetts, a city of about 95,000. How did this happen?
Well, Marty Walsh, who's a great guy, had made a couple bets, I think, for Red Sox and maybe the Bruins, and lost. And he's become completely superstitious about making bets. So I had approached him at the U.S. Conference of Mayors about some kind of bet, food bet, whatever. And he was like, no, I don't want to talk about it. And then the mayor of Brockton approached me and came up with this idea that, the losing team would dress up. They have two Rocky statues. We have Rocky Balboa. They have Rocky Marciano. And he said we dress up either one, whoever lost, with some kind of Patriots or Eagles gear, just temporarily.
I heard them.
But believe it or not, people actually thought, I mean, think about this.
Okay.
They actually thought I was betting to trade the Rocky statue itself. I mean, it's like, I'm like, did you read the article?
But we should say that our Rocky is fictional. Their Rocky is real.
Correct. Well, our Rocky's become more real over the years, despite the fact it's a fictional character, but I think people really identify it. Every time I go by the Art Museum, there's a line of people waiting to get a picture taken with that statue. It's just amazing how it happened and how it's been so ingrained in our culture. It was a great movie. I mean, anytime I'm watching TV, I'm surfing the channels, and it's on, I'll watch it to the end. So I like everything up till Rocky III.
I hear Yards Beers on the line as well. Did I read that right?
Yeah, apparently. Well, Yards is a great company in our city. It's expanding into a large brewery operation on Spring Garden Street. The owners are terrific people dedicated to Philadelphia. And we wanted to make sure we gave them a little FaceTime and play. So we bet a keg of beer. Yards Beer, and they apparently have a Rocky Marciano wine, so it was a case of wine, so wow. I'll be looking forward to tasting that.
A questioner just wanted some clarification here. Are we greasing the poles or we're not in Philadelphia?
I believe we are. I read in the paper yesterday that they're not using Crisco, but they're using some kind of other lubricant. I'm not sure what it is. Look, all we want to do is keep people safe. I mean, climbing up a pole, you know, inebriated and hanging off of it on the street is really a dangerous thing, and we just don't want to see people hurt. We want to see people enjoy themselves, you know, be loud and cheer their team and have fun with their friends and family, but we don't want to see anybody hurt, and that's, I think, the most important thing, and we don't want to see anything damaged. So I have confidence in our fans that everyone will take the win in stride, and we'll behave appropriately and have a good time.
We're having a kind of a pep rally for the Philadelphia Eagles on Radio Times today. You can call us at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, as many people who work at WHYY did, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And Philadelphia Mayor and big sports fan, big Eagles fan, Jim Kenney is our guest in this portion of Radio Times. So what will you be doing, Mr. Mayor, on Sunday?
I'll be home. I'm considering going. It is kind of cold. They're looking at like 10 or 12 degrees below zero. And when I started to investigate a little bit, the airfare is kind of steep. I did have a place to stay, which meant I probably would have been stuck, you know, 30, 40 minutes out of town. And then I considered the staying home part. You know, I watched every Eagles game of my life at home in Philadelphia. And I think I want to be in the city where I was born and raised and enjoy it in front of the TV without distraction, you know, do some cooking and enjoy it. And I decided it was the best thing to do. And I want to make sure that I'm here, you know, in the event we have a celebration and everything goes well.
What are you going to be cooking?
Chicken cutlets. I'm looking forward to. That's one of my favorites.
We've been trying to get to the bottom of Krabby Snacks. Do you know what that is?
Krabby Snacks? It has to do with Old Bay?
I don't know. It's from Silver Linings Playbook, and we're still trying.
Pete Scirocco, he'll know about Krabby Snacks.
That's great. Well, Mayor Jim Kenney, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times, and go Eagles, right?
It's my pleasure. Go Birds. I just want everybody just to have a good time and enjoy themselves, and we're successful on Sunday. Just think about all the folks that got us where we are. It really is important. And we wish everyone well and be safe.
Again, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney, one of our guests in this hour of Radio Times.
I'm getting to the end zone, dummy. I mean, he celebrates before he's even in.
You know something? It's nothing new. Your team does that all the time. They get close, and then they blow it. They got an inferiority complex.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
That's a scene from Silver Linings Playbook, talking about Krabby Snacks. Dolores, played by Jackie Weaver. Pat, played by Bradley Cooper, trying to cheer up the father, played by Robert De Niro, who is a huge Eagles fan. And joining us now is Jake Tapper, who is also a super Eagles fan, also a trash-talking Eagles fan, anchor of State of the Union and The Lead, and also chief Washington correspondent for CNN. He was at the NFC Championship game with his dad when the Eagles walked all over the Vikings. Jake Tapper, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
It's great to be here, and I think my Philadelphia accent is a little bit better than Robert De Niro's, but that was a very – it was good to have Cooper in it, though, because we heard his jersey now and his actual enunciation of words.
So have you been a lifelong Eagles fan?
Yeah. My mom lives in Queen Village, and I grew up a couple miles away from Veterans Stadium, and I remember the team with Bill Berkey and Dawes, and I've been through, as have a lot of the listeners, I'm sure, a couple Super Bowls that didn't go the way I wanted, and I'm hoping for luck in this attempt.
Well, I saw that tweet you sent out with you and your dad at the NFC game, and must have been a lot of fun to watch it with him.
It was great. You know, he's been in Philadelphia as long as I have. I guess I'm not in Philadelphia anymore, technically, but my heart's still there. And so my dad's been in Philadelphia for 48 years and is a big Eagles fan. And a guy who was at my high school a few years behind me worked for the Eagles and hooked me and my dad up with tickets, and it was an amazing experience. And I was nervous during that first run when the Vikings had the ball.
Oh yes,
you know, my heart sank, but then the rest was just incredible and gave me just a tremendous feeling of optimism, although, you know, like any good Eagles fan, I'm terrified as well.
The mayor shares those exact feelings with you. Are there other Eagles fans at CNN?
There are a couple, not really a huge amount of Eagles fans. I mean, I think there are a lot of haters of the Patriots because for obvious reasons, including Deflategate and Spygate, but then also just because they have won so many times and we have never won one. But no, I'm pretty alone, I think, in terms of being an Eagles fan, at least in terms of on-air people that I can think of.
Do you like being part of this underdog team?
Well, I think it's just in our DNA. If you grow up in Philadelphia, you never feel like you are the BMOC. You got New York a few hours away. And there's just something underdog about being from Philadelphia. When I was a kid, I grew up in, it was actually kind of a heyday for Philadelphia sports. The Eagles were in the Super Bowl in 81, even though they lost, they still were in it. The Sixers won in 82-83 season. The Phillies won in 80. They were in the World Series again in 82. So, I mean, that was, you know, I was 11 in 1980. So, like, that was a really important formulation of my youth. And then it's been kind of a dry spell since then, intermittently. So I think it's kind of just part of who we are in Philadelphia, not just about sports teams, but also just the fact that we kind of live in the shadow of New York City.
How much do you hate the Patriots?
With every fiber of my being.
Well said. You've called them big cheaters, too. And you're not alone in that, I have to say.
I said that I wasn't going to say anything else about it. And I feel like I can have an exception because I'm talking to HRY and my Philadelphia friends. But I will say that it's just fact that they cheated for years. And you can go back anyone can go look it up. When the late Arlen Specter was trying to investigate Spygate and what had happened, Goodell told him that all the records had been destroyed. I mean, there has been a real shady thing going on with the Patriots. And look, they are really naturally very good. I mean, you can't take away from that. They're really good. Belichick is an animal. Brady is an animal. I mean, they don't need to cheat, but it's obvious that they have. So, I mean, I feel like I'm just saying something that is pretty obvious for anyone. I didn't think it was going to be as controversial as it was.
Well, I'm Artie Moskowain, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia, talking with Jake Tapper. Let me play, this is from Saturday Night Live, Jake, and we'll get your response. This is the SNL anchor Colin Jost trashing both the Eagles and their fans.
The Philadelphia Eagles will face the New England Patriots in this year's Super Bowl, making it the first Super Bowl where the fans have even worse brain damage than the players.
Ouch.
Well, you know, sometimes some of our fellow Eagles fans get a little out of line.
Yes.
True. I mean, you know, and we've been all, it's all part of the underdog spirit that our, you know, that we booed Santa Claus, and even our former mayor and former governor was involved in betting somebody whether or not he could throw snowballs or ice balls onto the field. I mean, people get out of line, and it does happen. It's not a particularly proud part of who we are, but it is part of who we are. I do think it's kind of a bad lance because, I mean, after any World Series victory or any Super Bowl victory, fans in that team of that town tend to, some of them get over exuberant and you end up with riots or cars set on fire. It kind of just happens no matter what. But that said, you know, I'm hoping everybody behaves themselves on Sunday.
Well, that person who threw snowballs at Santa Claus is our fourth guest after you, Jake Tapper. And apparently, everything that I read, he said he was just a really lousy Santa Claus and he deserved it.
This is what I always say. Whenever anybody brings up the Santa Claus thing, I say, you know what? He knew the risks. You know?
Exactly.
Santa knows the risks.
Let me read some comments, and this is from some of the folks that work at HYY. This is Thad Kirk, our chief engineer. He says, I just want to see people climbing the poles on Broad Street. Maybe Chase Utley can contribute some words to a Super Bowl parade speech. And then we were talking with the mayor earlier, and at the last game that you were at with your dad, they did grease the poles with Crisco. I've decided they're going to grease them with something else. Does that tell us something about Philadelphia and its fans?
They're exuberant and scrappy. I mean, you know, that's all it says to me. And people get excited. I don't really understand the climbing the poles thing, but, you know, if that's the worst thing that happens on Sunday night. I will say that remember that Belichick, one of the things he did to psych up the Patriots when they last played against us in the Super Bowl for the 04 season, one of the things he did was recite to them the Philadelphia Eagles parade route as planned for the celebration victory. And that's one of the things that got that motivated the Patriots, in addition to perhaps the fact that they stole our playbook. I want to caution everybody, you know, let's all keep in mind that this is going to be a tough one. Let's not give them any motivation for their practice.
What will you be doing on Sunday? Will you be in Minneapolis or home in front of your television?
My boss, Jeff Zucker at CNN, got me tickets.
Oh, my goodness.
And so after State of the Union on Sunday morning on CNN, I will be going to the airport and flying to Minnesota. My dad declined to go just because he's already has a Super Bowl party planned. And also, just to be candid, he's 78, and
right.
a flight to a freaking cold city might not sound as appetizing. I'm going to be bringing one of my dear college friends, and I will be at the Super Bowl wearing a great old-school Eagles sweater and hoping for the best.
Well, Jake Tapper, thanks so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you as well. Jake Tapper of CNN and huge Eagles fan joining us on Radio Times for our pep rally of sorts. You can join us as well. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times and join our pep rally for Sunday. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY, in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowen. We are talking about Super Bowl Sunday, the Philadelphia Eagles. And let me read a couple of more emails here. One from Tiffany. She says, my stepdad is the most diehard Eagles fan I have ever known. And this game means so much to him, especially seeing as he just conquered cancer this week. The first thing he said when the doctor gave him the great news was, if I can beat cancer, the Eagles can beat the heck out of the Patriots on Sunday. Tiffany, thanks for that email. Seth Kelly, associate producer of Fresh Air. I'm going to watch with my parents to see my dad jump and scream and be generally really entertaining. Also, so I can monitor his heart rate and make sure he doesn't pass out. You can call us as well or join us as well by calling us at 1-888-477-9499. And joining us now is Philly Boy Roy. He is on his way to Minnesota. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. Where are you?
Well, here's what's going on. You know, I've been hitchhiking across the country trying to get to Minneapolis, and I had a truck driver drop me off at O'Hare Airport, so I snuck into the Admiral's Club, and I'm just kind of hanging out in the bathroom. So I got to be kind of quiet.
Are you wearing Eagles green?
I'm wearing an Eagles uniform.
Oh, my gosh. An entire uniform.
Helmet, everything. Oh, pads, helmet, everything. But, you know, I'm kind of old school, so I got a number 7 for Ron Jaworski.
That is old school. Do you have tickets for the game?
Tickets? When has that ever stopped me from doing something?
So you're on your way to Minneapolis. What are your plans once you get there?
Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to try to find, you know, some of the players, try to find Foles, and then drag him to the First Avenue nightclub and just kind of hang out, kick back some beers, maybe see Soul Asylum.
Don't you dare.
I want to do that. Hey, Mayor Canning ain't with you guys no more, is he?
He's Mayor Canning was with us about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, rats. Look, full disclosure, I'm the guy that drove his dune buggy up the art museum steps the night we won against the Vikings.
Oh, you're the guy.
I'm the dude, right? And so, look, I know Commissioner Ross is looking for my ass, right? And I wanted to know if maybe this is something that could go away if a couple skids of Tasty Cakes was left on a certain mayor's doorstep.
I'm not sure you're allowed to do that here in Philadelphia. Not sure, Philly boy Roy.
Anything goes in Philly. You know that.
How long have you been a sports fan?
Oh, my God, since I was like one.
And are you a particular Eagles fan or just all Philly sports?
I like all of it. You know, I love Dr. J. I loved, you know, I used to cut Larry Boa's lawn when I was a kid. He lived up there in Skipback. No, mate. No, wait. It was Warrington. No, wait. It might have been Paoli.
Where did you get your accent? I just have to find out. Get to the bottom of this.
I live in Roxborough. Why?
I hear the hint of something else there. Not sure what.
Oh, Manayunk? Well, my mom was from Manayunk.
And so when you expect to get to Minneapolis?
Yeah. When? Oh, well, you know, hopefully I can get on a flight today and get up there tonight, although I don't got a ticket. But as I said before, when's that ever stopped me from doing something?
You know, it's 7 degrees below zero there.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, maybe I could buy some sort of hat or something.
You're going to need more than a hat if you're out there.
Gloves?
Maybe gloves.
Well, my cleats are pretty warm.
Great. Well, I wish you luck getting out there
to
Minneapolis.
Can I give my prediction?
You can. Go ahead.
I give my prediction for the game.
Sure, go
100-2, we're going to win.
That's the spirit.
Yes, and their safety is going to be the result of a blown call.
There you go. Philly boy Roy, thanks for calling into Radio Times.
Thank you. Go Eagles.
Go Eagles. And you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY. You can call us as well, 1-888-477-9499. Well, the last time the Eagles played the Patriots in the Super Bowl was in 2005 when they lost 21-4. Here's how it ended, courtesy of NBC. The Eagles had the ball on the 5-yard line with 17 seconds left on the clock.
It's going to be almost impossible for them to have a completed pass and run another play. They're going to have to really hustle.
They got to throw two Hail Marys. Down the middle of the field, and the pass is picked off by Harrison. Rodney Harrison takes it in, and 9 seconds remain, and the New England Patriots are on their way to solidifying their team as an NFL dynasty.
That was painful for Eagle fans and especially painful for Ed Rendell, who was Pennsylvania governor at the time. He had to don a Patriots uniform and sing the national anthem at a Sixers-Celtics game, and he wants revenge. He currently does analysis for the Eagles post-game show on NBC Sports Philadelphia, and he joins us on Radio Times. Governor Rendell, nice to have you back with us on the show.
Hi, Marty. And I had to sing that song at the Boston Garden at a Sixers Boston game.
What a humiliation.
I want to tell you, you should be very honored. I had a choice today of doing two things, this interview with you or going to Wingbo. And I chose the interview with you.
I am so honored by that. I cannot tell you. I know
I can't remember the last time there was projectile vomiting during your show.
Yeah, not yet anyway, but there's always the future. You do want revenge. I think most of the people here listening to us want revenge. How do you see the Eagles doing it?
Well, interestingly, I got to the stadium before the Minnesota game about an hour early and watched in the atrium at the club level. We watched the Patriots game on big screen. And I and almost every Eagle fan were rooting for the Patriots to beat the Jaguars for one simple reason. Well, two reasons. One was revenge. We wanted revenge, and they cheated us out of that game. And two was because we wanted to beat the best. Look, the Jacksonville Jaguars are a good little team, but beating them wouldn't have been a big deal. we want to beat the best. We want to beat the Patriots, and we want to beat Tom Brady. And I actually think we will, Marty. First, this is the weakest Patriots team, I think, in the last decade.
Wow.
Their offensive and defensive lines are not good. They cannot compare to our offensive and defensive lines. And most big games are won at the line of scrimmage. So on the basis of that, we should win. However, Tom Brady is not an ordinary quarterback, and he can do amazing things. And secondly, football is a game where the bounces can dictate the outcome. If a punt is in the air and it bounces on the ground and it bounces crazily and hits one of the Eagles that's running down to block for the punt returner and the Patriots recover at the 5-yard line, bingo. When Nick Foles fumbled the ball on his run, it could have gone to a Minnesota Viking and fall on it for a touchback. Instead, it bounced right back to Nick, and we got a touchdown out of it. So it depends which way the ball bounces, because I think it's going to be a close game. But I predict that the Eagles will win 23-21. Three field goals by Jake Elliott will be the difference.
You're not superstitious? A lot of people listening saying, no, don't say that, Governor. Not at all.
I mean, I predicted they would win both of the home playoff games, and they won them not easily against Atlanta. But the Minnesota game was as impressive a game as I've seen an Eagles team play in a long, long while.
And even after that first touchdown by the Vikings, I think a lot of people were thinking, oh, no, but it was quite a game that they played after that. Let me just throw out the phone number again, and it's 1-888-477-9499, the phone number to join our Eagles pep rally here. Governor Rendell is our fourth and final guest in this hour. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Governor, right before you came on, we had Jake Tapper, who we all know is a big Eagles fan. He was joining us, and he basically called the Patriots just a bunch of cheaters. And you tend to agree with him.
Well, I think the team itself, the Belichick-Brady hierarchy, yeah, they get involved in bending the rules, to say the least. I don't think all the Patriots are cheaters. But I will say this, Marty, I think the Eagles mania is two or three times as much as it was even in 2005. Although we sort of took over the city of Jacksonville. I got down there on Thursday, and there were Eagle fans everywhere. You couldn't find a Patriot fan. They didn't come in until late Saturday afternoon. But the Eagles mania that gripped the city, with Boston Markets changing their name to Philadelphia Markets, with the wonderful new Museum of the American Revolution crossing out the Patriots in Patriots Gallery and St. Eagles Gallery. And it's unbelievable. Here at the Bellevue, my personal office is at the Bellevue, and they're giving all employees off at 3 o'clock when they, today, if they wear Eagles gear. And my two assistants, Melissa Piccoli and Sean Torp, made a mistake and didn't wear Eagles gear, so they have to stay till 5:30 tonight.
Oh, that's tough, I have to say. Let me read some comments that came in from some of the folks that work here at WHYY. Thad. Diana Liu from Planned Philly. This week I dressed my dog up in a jersey and convinced a friend to get Eagles gear so we could go to the gym together, ensemble. Jim Saxer, he's a reporter for Planned Philly. He says, I plan on getting outrageously drunk. Now, Governor, you have to do this post-game show, right?
Absolutely, and we come on literally 10 seconds after the game ends. But I would have a message for Eagle fans, and the message is, look, we have great fans. We get a bum rap around the nation. Other fan bases have done things much worse than we have. 99.9% of our fans are great. But if we win, let's celebrate and don't destroy anybody's property. Mm. That makes no sense to me. We're happy we won. We shouldn't take it out on our own citizens. And two, if we lose, take pride in what they've done. For them to have gotten this far without Carson Wentz and without Jason Peters and without Jordan Hicks is nothing short of a sports miracle. So be proud of what you've done and what they've done. And if they lose, I'd like to see thousands of fans go out to the airport to greet them, to say, you guys gave us a great season, you played your hearts out, and we're still with you. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to have a parade. Hmm. And Chris Collinsworth said during the Falcons game, he said, if the Eagles win, this will be the largest parade in sports parade in U.S. history, and I think that's right.
Well, I have to say, Mayor Kenney is, I'm sure every time you predict a win, he's saying, no, don't say that, Governor Rendell.
No, the mayor's a lifelong EU fan.
But, no, I know that, but he's very superstitious on top of that. You know, I Googled you and Santa Claus. I know this has haunted you for decades now, but you did come clean. It apparently was a really lousy-looking Santa Claus, and you were one of the people, one of the Eagles fans.
Well, the game was in Franklin Field.
Right.
And you know the track at Franklin Field is literally the people in the first row can lean over and drop a quarter and it would fall on the track. And Santa was supposed to ride his sled around the track. And the Santa the Eagles had hired got sick. And he was a regular Santa who had played Santa before. So the Eagles went into the stands looking for someone in a Santa suit. And this guy, and he was a great guy, he volunteered, but he was scrawny. He was tiny, 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 and it wasn't a very impressive-looking Santa. The suit was a little scruffy as well. And the Eagles were winning in a game that the fans wanted them to lose because we were trying to get the first draft choice, and they wanted us to lose. So the fans were surly at halftime, and then this woeful-looking Santa gets in the sled, starts to go around the field, and the fans, and I was one of them, just started pelting them with snowballs, and we drove him off the sled. He had to get off the sled. So,
and the
but he was a great guy, and he just recently passed away. And he didn't hold any grudge against the Eagles fans. And, in fact, he was a lifelong Eagles fan himself.
That's Governor Ed Rendell, and I'm Marty Moscoen. You're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. So, Governor, you did not grow up in Philadelphia, but certainly have lived in and around this place for some time now. How soon before you came to Philly that you became an Eagles fan?
Well, I grew up in New York, and I was a football Giants fan. When I came to Philly in 61 as a freshman, but I don't think I really became an all-out with my heart Eagles fan until Dick Vermeil arrived. And I loved Dick Vermeil. He was a great coach, and he cared so much. You know, he would always tear up at moments. He was a brilliant coach, and it was fun time to be an Eagles fan. And I converted with Dick Vermeil, and ever since, I've been a great fan, a season ticket holder. And as you said, in 1998, my second to last year as mayor, Comcast Sportsnet called me and said, we're going to do a post-game Eagles show, and we'd like you to join Michael Barkan, Ray Didinger, the great Hall of Fame sports writer, and an Eagle player. At that time, it was former Eagle Tom Brookshire. And we did the show. We started in 1998, and we've done it for 19 years. The only time I've missed a game was when I was running for governor, the two times I ran for governor. I couldn't come on before the election without violating the equal time rule. So, but I was there the Sunday right after the election.
Well, Governor Rendell, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times. And what can I say? Go Eagles, right?
Go Eagles, and I think we're going to do it. I really do.
Well, thanks so much, and thanks for your optimism and your enthusiasm.
Everyone should feel very sorry for Melissa Piccoli and Sean Thorpe because they didn't wear Eagles gear today.
They have to stay till 5:30.
5:30, yeah, a little later than normal.
All righty. Well, Governor, thanks so much for joining us today on Radio Times. And that's it for our pep rally for the Philadelphia Eagles. Adam Staniszewski, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Trinae Nuri produced the program. Go to WHYY.org/Radio Times, and the conversation will continue online. I'm Marty Moscoen. We want to close things out with the theme from Underdog. That's a cartoon series from the 1960s.
When criminals in this world appear and bring the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for honor.